Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio for Friday, September the 25th, 2020. And we are, of course, broadcasting on Tucson's Voice, News Talk station that really does such a great job of bringing you trusted local news and talk. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Fridays, we do a big shout out to our media partners. Thank you very much. Folks like Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thank you for your support. Dan Shear down at the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Jim Ninsel with the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus. Joining me on the live line with the chief for our conversation is Sarah Garrett Gasson, opinion page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah joining us on the live line from her home office, along with Olivia the Wonder Dog, who has been sedated for the next hour. How are you?
Well, she's laying here right next to me, waiting to spring into action. And once she knows that you're live on air,
what about the tortoise? Has the tortoise been fed?
She is actually outside having her lunch as we speak.
Very cool.
And I have to put her outside to eat because Olivia will come and steal it.
Oh yes, that's a problem. Chief Magnus, how are you, sir?
I am doing very well. I've got 3 dogs that are upstairs in my house right now, Lulu, Betty, and Mitchie, that I hope won't start barking about something or other.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the situation.
Chief, I want to talk about this review panel that was assembled by TPD and led by 2 really nationally recognized experts in criminal justice reform, examining 2 in-custody, highly publicized here in the community, in-custody deaths involving TPD. The panel came up with about 50 recommendations to prevent a recurrence. Were you happy with the way that went?
Yes, this process is something that's very important to me. We are really, I think, one of the only departments in the country that are engaged in using a true Sentinel Event Review Board. We call it the CERB. It does sound a bit like an Eastern European country, I guess, but this is a really important process to us because look, we've already gone through our internal investigation. This is not that. We've looked at discipline issues. This is not that either. This is a process for looking at how bad outcomes in the future could be prevented. And the idea is to bring a group of people together, a diverse group. We actually had a 15-member board. And it was facilitated, as you mentioned, by 2 experts in this process, Dr. Holloway from the University of Pennsylvania Law School and Dr. Scott from the ASU School of Criminal Justice and Criminology. Both of them are kind of experts in this field. And we looked at things like policy going forward, training, supervision, equipment, maybe external factors that could influence things. And the idea is, instead of being blame-focused, the idea is to look at, again, what are the factors that contributed to bad outcomes, and then what recommendations, if they had been in place, you know, at the time of the deaths of Mr. Alvarado and Mr. Ingram Lopez, what kind of recommendations would allow potentially either man to be alive today? So I think this is a really, really important process. And I should mention, by the way, that the report that they did that includes all of the recommendations of the board, and maybe we can talk in a minute a little bit more about who was on that board. But all those recommendations are on our website for people to look at the full board report.
Another big event this week was that no criminal charges would be filed against the four current and former TPD officers over the in-custody death of Mr. Ingram Lopez. Do you have any reaction to that, Chief?
Well, I don't really, because that's not anything that we are involved in. That is entirely a decision that's made by the Pima County Attorney's Office. Obviously, we provide them with all of the information they request. They have the body camera footage of all the officers. They have all of the reports. They have the pathologist reports, not only that was done by the Pima County Medical Examiner's Office, but also the pathologist that the family paid for. And reading their report, I see that there were some pretty serious issues that they raised with that privately done report. But all that said, they look at everything. And as I understand it, they had a group of five very senior attorneys in that office that then extensively reviewed all of the material, and then they came up with ultimately with their decision. But that's, again, that's nothing that we have anything to do with at all. So we just accept it for what it is, basically. And I should mention that's also a publicly available decision that they wrote up. It's quite lengthy, and it's available through their office.
All right, let's bring in Sarah Garrett-Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah?
I was just going through the report, the CERB report, and I noticed that several of the recommendations and what they listed as the contributing factors had to do with even before the police were dispatched to the scene, with the 911 emergency calls and then the subsequent dispatching, that there was a language barrier between the dispatcher and the person phoning in the call, reporting that there was a problem and asking for emergency assistance, and that the calls going out didn't flag what was happening with Mr. Ingram Lopez, I think it was, as kind of a medical event or a behavioral health situation. Can you talk a bit about that and how dispatchers are trained and what officers need to know when they are being sent out to a scene?
Well, let me just frame that by clarifying. The 911 center, the Public Safety Communications Department, is a separate department from the police department. This was changed a couple of years ago, so it is separate from both the police and fire department. They have, it has its own director. None of the staff report to either the police or fire department. They are their own independent department within the city. Having said that, I think obviously how they handle calls and what their policies are extremely important, because they have a significant impact on how we do our job, how police, the kind of information that they have to work with on their way to a call, what the dispatcher chooses to include in the information that's provided. There's so many aspects of their work that are incredibly important. So I think one of the things that was really important about this board was that they looked at not only issues involving the police department, but also issues pertaining to these incidents that involve the Public Safety Communications Department, otherwise known as sort of the 911 center, and the fire department. So there were recommendations really for all three agencies. And I think that's appropriate because, we have to work together to handle these calls. And I think all three agencies want to do better going forward with what our response looks like.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show. Chief Magnus will be with us for the next segment, along with Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. This is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today with Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus. Joining us also on the live line, Sarah Garrett Gasson, opinion page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, the Buckmaster Show, and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Chief Magnus, these two in custody, highly publicized deaths, do they fuel into a kind of a perception that this is a troubled police department? Is that the perception the community may get out of all of this? Some of your thoughts, sir.
Well, I really hope not. I think these were tragedies. And no one, certainly no one in the police department is doing anything other than taking them very seriously. But I think the trademark of a professional police department that should have the trust of a community is one that wants to address problems and facilitate continuous learning and rebuild trust. And that's what we've been trying to do. This was the whole point of convening this kind of Sentinel Event Review Board. We involved numerous people from the community in that process, as well as our independent police, the city's independent police auditor, representatives from the Community Police Advisory Review Board, City Council Ward Office and Mayor's Office representatives and other community members. I mean, the point was to rebuild trust, to look at what occurred, to learn from it, and then to, really be communicating with the community, and particularly our minority communities that we want to have that kind of important relationship going forward, and we want to make that as strong as possible. So I think we're doing the right things, but we're always open to further ideas and input as to how we can do better.
Sarah, would you like to follow up on this, or can I change directions?
Oh, please go ahead.
I want to talk a little bit about some of these surveys that consistently show that the city of Tucson does not do very well when it comes to overall crime compared to other Arizona cities. Is this a safe city generally, Chief Magnus?
So, you know, a lot of these surveys are frankly very suspect. They're done by alarm companies or commercial interests that have their own agendas, and they end up scaring people. They do not always look favorable in terms of comparisons. But here's the bottom line. Part one crime, as defined by the FBI, that includes all your major crimes in Tucson, is down 25% from 2018. I know that does not fit with the narrative that some folks have, but we have the data to back that up. It's down 25%. Our homicide solve rate in this community is 85%. That is so far above the national average, particularly for cities our size. It is, you know, these are facts that sometimes people do not realize. So, and the other thing is we are upfront about what's going on with crime in Tucson. We are just putting up a series of dashboards on our website that, you know, starting next week, you will be able to see one that covers all of this crime information. It shares it by city ward. It breaks it down by time of day, day of the week, probably more information that you ever wanted to know. But this is, you know, crime is a concern. Now, even despite the fact that crime is down, crime is a concern to us. And we need the community's help to address it. So we have a growing volunteer program. We're doing our best to get crime prevention information out. We're reaching out to communities that sometimes have been underserved when it comes to being able to report crime. I think I have a tremendous team of officers, detectives, and supervisors who are all working crime is their number one priority, even throughout this pandemic. And so we're really trying to be very deliberate about it.
And the dashboard will be available at the TPD website. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I can just expand on that just a little bit. There's going to be a whole series of dashboards with the idea of being as transparent as possible with data and other information that the public wants to know. So, for example, our first dashboard involved use of force, quite a bit of information there, very unusual for police departments to put that out publicly and make it so easily accessible to community. But we're going to have, this dashboard on crime will be up potentially today, but certainly no later than early next week. We'll have other dashboards to come that people can look through around arrest data, police staffing, traffic collisions, a whole series of things. And I think, again, the more information we have out there and that we're sharing with the community, the better we can work together to address problems.
All right, Sarah, let's bring you in.
I have a question about COVID-19 and the just sort of anxiety and stress and economic concerns. And I'm wondering if the chief is seeing any sort of trends with, arrests or people being in some sort of behavioral health crisis as this pandemic and its stresses keep going.
Well, I think, a lot of this is still anecdotal because we're still, trying to associate, data with, what's going on specific to COVID-19. But, I hear from officers out on the street that they are seeing more cases of domestic violence, general family issues. I think we're seeing also overall calls related to mental health, I think, continue to be very high. I talked to folks on our mental health services team, MISS team, and they're very busy dealing with people who are, in many cases, very stressed, going through crisis. So I think there is an impact. And then there's also just the challenges of dealing with masking up. We're trying to continue to play an educational rather than enforcement role in getting people to wear masks. But there's still some resistance to that. And that's a real problem, particularly around the university and some of the student housing where, there are a lot of young people that just, don't get it. Not uncommon among older adolescents who, think they're kind of invincible, but it is challenging because the rates of COVID-19 around the campus are, and the census tracts within and around the campus are, are high, and they're high enough that they've been identified as a public health emergency. And so we've really got to get a handle on this because, and this is an all hands on deck process. I mean, this isn't really even a policing issue. This is public health. This is community awareness. This is the university. Everybody's got to work together because if those rates of COVID-19 in that area and among that population go up, we know that those are individuals who are out in the community. They go back home to their parents and others. This spreads quickly. And, one of the bigger concerns, and you mentioned the economy, is that if the university has to close down again or limit just to virtual classes, it's going to have a tremendous economic impact on the community. So, these are very important issues, and we're doing everything we can to be a positive factor in, for example, the mask wearing, public education, working with businesses, all of those kinds of things.
All right, Sarah, we're going to let you go. I know you're hosting a Zoom event at 12:30. I'm going to keep the chief with us till about 12:35. So, Sarah, thank you for your participation in the program today.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Bill, and thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right, Chief, I want to move on. What about body cams? There's this big debate now about state police here, every one of them being outfitted with body cams. I heard that this morning, and I'm just wondering, what about our own TPD officers? What percentage are wearing the body cam, Chief Magnus?
All of our patrol officers are wearing body cameras, and that includes, for example, our SWAT team. When they're going out in the field doing a particular operation. This is something that we've been doing for a number of years. We initially funded some of this through grants, but since then it's been part of the budget. The challenge, of course, with the body cameras is the expense is greater than just the cameras themselves. There's a lot of investment that has to be made in storing all this footage. If people request it, understandably, for public record purposes, and it has to be redacted to meet legal requirements, so that takes time. But I think body cameras are very, very important because, I mean, think of the different situations that our officers become involved in, even officer-involved shootings. And I can't imagine how public trust could be impacted if people weren't able to see what actually occurred. Even when things don't look good, I think it's important that the public see it. But, you know, the only thing I wish the public could see more of is all the many cases where officers go above and beyond to really deliver superior service. And when they handle even really very tactical and challenging situations with incredible courage and skill, I wish more of that could be seen. But the bottom line still is that these are important. It may also reduce the likelihood of bogus complaints where somebody says an officer did something, misrepresents, or flat out is untruthful about something that happened. The body camera footage can be very, very valuable in showing what really occurred. So I there are challenges associated with it, but I'm a big fan, frankly.
Policing in the 21st century, very, very, very challenging, Chief Magnus, to say the least. I wonder how it's going to affect younger people who possibly have been thinking about a career in law enforcement. And are there some positives that are going to come out of this renewed kind of looking at policing in America?
Well, I think you just broke it down in a really thoughtful way, because what we're going through now presents both amazing opportunities in terms of some important reforms and opportunities to build trust and greater accountability and transparency for police that I think is extremely important, and in some communities, perhaps even more than others. But it also, there's no question that it also is really hard on a lot of officers. Assumptions are made about their motives. Often they're accused of bias, despite the fact that, I think we work really hard in those areas. And I think, we bring in people, we train them extremely well here in Tucson. But I think there's still a lot of assumptions made about TPD. Based on what people see on television, perhaps involving other departments, which sometimes is very unfair and very frustrating. New officers come in and, I think they join the department for the same reason almost all of us got into policing, which is they want to make a difference and they want to help people. But the national narrative right now, particularly a lot of what's in the media, can be very discouraging. And then when you have demonstrations where people are in your face yelling insults and calling you murderers and that kind of thing, that's discouraging as well. I think we'll get through it. There have been other periods that have been tough for policing in this country. I think we're going to come out of it better on the other side. But this is, again, a time where the more communication we can have with the community, the more dialogue, I think the better.
And those of us that lived through the late 60s, another very challenging time for our country, do understand that these things can be very cyclical, Chief Magnus.
That's right. I think you got it exactly right. There have been periods, particularly when you have sort of political differences that are so wide and deep right now in a country, I think that leads to concerns about policing as well. Frankly, I do welcome those concerns, and I think we can address them and come out better. And I also agree with the idea that not all the work that we're currently doing should and needs to be done by the police. But this has to be handled in a thoughtful, deliberate way. I think we're lucky to live in a community where the city council continues to fully fund the police department. But I also know there's a real desire for accountability and progress and dialogue, and we're committed to all those things.
keep you for a minute or so more because I would like to get just a staffing update here as we get ready to close out a horrible year, 2020, and we're all looking forward, I know, to 2021. Give us the overall staffing picture at Tucson Police.
Sure. Well, you know, we're certainly not building the department, and if anything, we've seen some slight decreases. As of the beginning of September, we had just under 800 deployable sworn officers, 793 to be exact, which was down 5 from the beginning of August. And out of that, there are roughly 43 that are non-deployable for any of a number of reasons, medical, et cetera. 41 in training right now, and we also have on top of that 56 community service officers. The CSOs, as we call them, are an incredibly important asset to the department because they can help us with so many calls in different situations that free up officers for other things. But there's no, I mean, I am concerned because the policing environment is not great for recruiting right now. We have many, many personnel in the department who are coming up on their 20-year mark, which is a point where they're eligible to retire. And, you know, if they do, because they're discouraged or because they've decided a second career is a better choice at this point, you lose an incredible amount of training and experience. So I hope that we'll continue to see a supportive city council, a supportive community. We recognize at some point we got to deal with compensation again because we're starting to run behind other agencies. And we also, I know you remember Prop 101, which got us a lot of vehicles and other equipment.
That's, oh, yes.
Those funds are running out. You know, that was a sunsetted proposition. So without something going forward, we're going to be struggling when it comes to maintaining our fleet and the other equipment that police officers need. So lots of concerns out there, but I still think we're in a great community in terms of supporting public safety, and you know, we have a really first-class professional police department.
All right, Chief Chris Magnus, thank you very much. Congratulations to your three wonderful companion animals. The dogs were very well behaved, as was.
They did. I think they're asleep, so that always helps, right?
Well, I hope we didn't put them to sleep, but now they can wake up and have some fun. Thank you, Chief.
There you go. Take care.
All right, Chief Christopher Magnus, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Jim Nensel from the Tucson Weekly is on the live line. He'll be with us right after the break in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Nensel's next after this.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today with Chief Magnus, TPD. Thank you, Chief, for the time. I thought we had a very thoughtful discussion. Also, thanks to Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star for her input into the interview. But now let's turn to Jim Ninsel. Jim is on the live line, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Jim Ninsel, senior editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
Oh, doing well, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to next week. We've got the two sheriffs, the current sheriff and the former sheriff, Sheriff Napier and former sheriff Nanos, joining us for the full hour. Dan Shear is going to join me in that heavyweight match. That's one of our kind of marquee races, right?
Sounds like you're going to have a high noon showdown there.
You bet. You
know, on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, so I see that as one of the marquee races. I see then 2 weeks from today, the District 1 race, supervisor race, that we will have Mr. Spain with us and Rex Scott, Steve Spain, the Republican, and the Allie Miller choice for retaining that seat. Rex Scott, the newcomer. How do you see some of these races shaping up, Jim?
I think those are two of the biggest that you just named off in terms of the local races. Mm-hmm. Certainly the sheriff's race, you know, Mark Napier won that seat 4 years ago and against the odds. You know, he's a Republican here in Pima County. It's kind of ironic, a Republican won in Pima County and a Democrat won in Maricopa County 4 years ago, and we'll see how that that plays out this year. But I think the problem for Chris Nanos in that race was he had been appointed to that seat and hadn't really had his political skills tested, and then there was the procurement scandal that erupted had occurred under Clarence Dupnik's watch, but of course Nanos took a lot of the blame for that, and it was enabled Mark Napier to win that race. Now, of course, this is really shaping up to be a much more Democratic year, I think, because Donald Trump is such a polarizing figure, and Democrats at this point will crawl over glass in order to vote against him. So I think Mark Napier has his work cut out for him persuading those Democrats, but I will say he's certainly behaved in a manner that was not like a Joe Arpaio or a Paul Babiou that we have seen in Maricopa and Pinal counties recently, where it's a lot of anti-immigration rhetoric and trying to build up some kind of national platform to, in Babiou's case, run for Congress, and in Arpaio's case, he was just such a showboat. But it's been a very different office under Mark Napier, and whether that's going to be enough to win over those Democratic crossover voters that he needs is something we'll learn on Election Day. I think the other one, that District 1 race, is really fascinating to me. This is a district that has traditionally been a Republican district, but it has definitely trended towards Democrats in 2018. Kyrsten Sinema won that. Congressional candidates that overlap in that district defeated their opponents, as did, I think, the legislative candidates that were running the Democrats. So I think that's a district that has shown that it will cross party lines to vote for a Democrat. And Rex Scott, former Republican, now a Democrat, can probably speak to some of those independents and some of those potentially crossover Republicans. And he has a lot more money than Steve Spain does. Steve Spain didn't raise a lot to begin with and came out of that four-way Republican primary, I think, with about $5,000 in the bank. And, you know, as you said, he's the Allie Miller choice, and I'm not sure that's going to be a good avenue towards raising the kind of money you want to raise to run a successful campaign. We don't know how much he's raised since that primary, but those reports will be out mid-October. So we'll see what's going on there. But I think if you're looking for an upset where a candidate who does not have the voter registration advantage pulls out ahead, that's the race to watch on election night.
Yeah, and I think there's another factor, Jim, that needs to be talked about. Rhonda Pena, the Republican who was in that race, had a pretty good coalition of kind of more moderate Republicans, and it kind of looks like they're pulling toward Rex Scott.
Yeah, and you know, that was a four-way Republican primary. I think Steve Spain got about a third of the vote, 33% or somewhere in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that, but I think Rhonda came in third with somewhere in the low 20s, and that's one out of every four or five voters who were inclined to vote against Steve Spain, who were looking for a more moderate voice. And Rex Scott was a former school superintendent up in some of those areas of Marana and Oro Valley, the Amphi and Marana school districts. So he certainly knows those constituents up there, and they may have some lingering name ID towards him, although, you know, maybe not everybody likes their school principal. But as my recollection is, he was pretty well respected in those roles. So I think that's really a race to watch, because I think the business community certainly soured on Allie Miller over the years. They liked the fact that she was willing to stand up against Chuck Huckleberry for a time. But I think many members of it, you know, watching her antics over the years have kind of wearied of the way she went around conducting business. And I think there's probably it's going to be hard for Steve Spain to convince a lot of those folks to open up their checkbooks.
I've only got about 3 minutes, and I want to touch on a couple of other national races here locally. Ann Kirkpatrick has not been out campaigning. Do you think that Brandon Martin has any chance in that race?
You know, if you look at those national forecasters, they're certainly not putting any of the Arizona congressional seats on any kind of competitive basis. I think they're all lean Democrat at this point. So I think Kirkpatrick is probably in a pretty good space. Again, I think it's going to be a good year for Democrats. I think there's a lot of excitement regarding them. We're certainly seeing the polling suggesting that even Joe Biden may win Arizona. He's favored to win Arizona by a lot of these prognosticators at this point, just as Mark Kelly's favored to defeat Martha McSally. And and in those kind of circumstances, I think it's hard for a guy who's not been in office, who's having to campaign in the midst of a pandemic, and who hasn't raised a whole lot of money to unseat an incumbent.
I want to also touch on the McSally-Kelly race, the big marquee race, certainly. McSally is going to need every Republican. What I'm trying to say is they can't really look past this. They, you know, Trump supporters are going to vote for Trump, but if they get down to McSally and they leave it blank, that's going to be a big hurt for her.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons you saw her rush out to say that she wants to confirm another justice on the Supreme Court, because she needs to bring those Republicans home. And there's always been this sort of anti-McSally. She's too much of a rhino contingent among Republicans, and I wouldn't say it's a large contingent. I mean, certainly her opponent in the primary did not do very well. But there's certainly people out there who feel like she's running an act and not being a real conservative. You know, that race, I think her bigger problem in that is that she's struggling to get women. There's a big gender gap, I think, that you see in most of the polls out there. And Mark Kelly is being successful in winning over crossover Republicans. And I think if you're crossing the party line to vote for a Democrat in this race, it's not because you think the Republican is too liberal. I think it's because you think they're too conservative. And I don't know that move by McSally is going to help bring home the Republicans who are looking at Trump and looking at McSally and not liking what they see.
Only about 30 seconds. The polling still very much in favor of Kelly, or is that race tightened?
You know, you have to view, there's a whole bunch, they've been polling the heck out of the state. I haven't seen so many polls in my entire lifetime. So you get one or two a day practically these days. At this point, if you average them out, I think Kelly's up more than 5 points on average. I'd have to go back and look because there's new ones added each day. But you look at Real Clear Politics, and he had a pretty substantial lead over her. But some polls show it, you know, 1 or 2 points. Some, like a Fox News poll a couple weeks ago, showed 17 points. And I do not believe it's going to be 17 points. But I suspect Mark Kelly's leading this race by, you know, 4 or 5 percentage points, which is better than Kyrsten Sinema's doing, 2 years ago in the race that McSally lost. So I think McSally just, there's something about her that's turning off Arizona voters on some level.
All right, Jim Nitzel, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thanks, Jim. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, as all your listeners as well.
Thank you very much. Jim Nitzel of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell's coming up next, the award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, Food and Beverage columnist. He'll be with us on Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show live line guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt Russell's next.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Oh, we made it. Time for the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson, so you'll be ready when New Mexico is ready to once again open to out-of-state visitors. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for things to do and places to stay. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Always good to chat with you on the live line on a Friday.
There you go. One of the hallmarks of Weekend Watch has been the happy hour pick. Do you have one for us today?
What a lovely coincidence, Bill Buckmaster. My pick today, my happy hour pick today, is all about enjoying the historic downtown scene. So I say start happy hour at Augustine Kitchen in the wonderful Mercado San Agustin. Enjoy great discounts on beer and wine and wonderful cocktails, as well as signature nibbles and bites from their mussels and chorizo to a caprese bruschetta. And afterwards, check this out, while you're downtown, take advantage of a special guided and socially distanced walking tour of downtown's Turquoise Trail. Now, that starts at 6 o'clock tonight. It's hosted by the Presidio San Agustin Museum, and you're going to learn about history and architecture. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think a fun way to walk off happy hour. Information is at TucsonPresidio.com.
Any news on the reopening of the Flying V?
I am so excited, Bill. As you might remember, it is one of my favorite restaurants. The Flying V at Lowe's Ventana Canyon just announced they're opening this their beautiful patio this weekend after so many months off. Focusing on regional cuisine, they're doing dinner service on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, and their special Sangria Sunday brunch will be offered from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., featuring a 3-course menu with plenty of house-made sangria. And when they say plenty, that means I'm coming thirsty. Now, if you have been to the Flying V before, you know that their views from the patio simply can't be beat. The Flying V is welcoming us all back this weekend.
So glad they are back. What's going on at Borderlands Brewing?
Well, this one gets an A for creativity, Bill. Check it out. Borderlands Brewing Company has just announced the opening of what they're calling their social club, which sort of puts to use a large room that didn't otherwise have a purpose. But now it features a lounge and a pool table, and perhaps the most unique element, a barbershop. That's right. A fully functioning barbershop, like with real barbers inside a brewery. Can you imagine? I don't know of many places where you can have a beer while you're waiting for a haircut. So I may need to check out the Borderlands Social Club this weekend.
Yeah, they may give me a shave and put that sweet-smelling stuff all over my face.
That's right.
And in the column in Inside Tucson Business, Matt Russell.
Yeah, it's another one of those famous online cooking classes, Bill. But this one is offering free ingredients for those wanting to join in from home. But you need to act quick. All of those delicious details are in my story this week in Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt Russell.
Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Christophon. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, for making sure all of those programs go up to the podcast in a very timely manner. Everybody here at KVOI, such great people who are so very supportive of our work here on the Buckmaster Show, including the gentleman I'm looking at on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing John Couch, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us have the same wish for you right now, and that is a safe and pleasant weekend.